Hey, if you brought your Bible, I'm going to read in a moment from a very familiar Christmas passage, Isaiah 9:6. But the title of this message is, What's in a Name? You know, I heard a story about a guy who got stuck with a last name of Odd. Can you imagine what he had to deal with? Everywhere he went, he'd introduce himself as Odd. Oh, that's Odd. What an odd name. He hated it. All through life, he had to put up with these jokes and snide remarks about his last name. So he actually gave instruction that upon his death, he didn't want anything put on his tombstone. He wanted a blank tombstone. He couldn't bear the thought of people standing at his grave and continuing to say that's odd. So he just, a blank tombstone, and they did exactly as he requested. But the strange thing is when people walked by and saw a tombstone with no inscription, they would say, that's odd. You know, names are important. If you've been stuck with a difficult name, you know what I'm talking about. One psychologist studied the names of 15,000 juvenile delinquents and discovered that those with odd or embarrassing names were in trouble four times as much as the others. I went through life with a girl's last name, right? Greg Laurie. L-A-U-R-I-E. And you know, and I'd spell it. What's your name? Greg Laurie. How do you spell it? L-A-U-R-I-E. Well, that's like a girl spells it. Yes, it is. And then to make matters worse, I got stuck with a nickname. How many of you had nicknames through life? Well, I don't know where this came. Well, actually, it was my aunt came up with it. My nickname was Pogo. Don't ever call me Pastor Pogo. I will not respond. But so now to make, to add insult to injury, I'm Pogo Laurie. Thank you very much. So I have some sympathy for those who have names that they're not happy with. In fact, people will anguish over what to name their children. You know, during the 60s, as a lot of people were having kids, a lot of them living on communes. As a matter of fact, they didn't want to choose the more traditional names that they had or their parents had. So they started coming up with some very unusual names. These are names actually given to kids by their parents who lived on communes: Morning, Carrot, Sunshine, Fender, Gravy. I'm not sure about Gravy. How about this one? Doobie. That is a child destined to have drug issues. You know what I'm saying? We don't know why our son is struggling with drugs. What's his name? Doobie. That's his brother Junkie right over there. Why would you name your kid that? Now, the popular names of eras, days gone by, with names like Charles, John, Robert are gone. And now parents will actually Google for new and unusual names. And they want to be very careful. As one parent said in an interview about naming her child, she said, well, I don't want to name my child after a serial killer in Nebraska. So you're trying to find just that perfect name. And by the way, here's the most popular names today for girls. Number 10. Abigail. We have any Abigails here? Okay. It's not that popular. They're probably all in the nursery right now. That's why. Number 9 is Emily, Madison, Chloe. Call out if this is one of your names. Lily, Ava, Olivia, Isabella, Emma. None of these names. And the number 1 girl's name, Gertrude. I made that up. Number 1 girl's name is Sophia. Any Sophias? Yeah, they're not that popular. Okay, for boys, number 10, Logan, on to Lucas, Noah, Ethan, Jaden, Jacob, Liam, Mason. Oh, what? Which one? Okay. Yeah, Jackson, and the number 1 name for boys, Greg. No, it's Greg. It's actually Greg Laurie, which is weird. But anyway, you know, people come up with all these names because everyone wants to be a little different. You know, girls will often get names like Amber, Jade, Diamonds and Crystal, sort of gem names. And now the new trend in boy names is geographic names. These are actual names: Austin, Dakota, Zaire, Dallas. There's one of them. Israel, Sydney. You know, these are cool names. Is anyone ever going to name their kid Riverside? Meet young Riverside. Here's his brother, San Bernardino. His nickname is Burdu. And here comes little Pedally on the tricycle. Come on, Pedally. pedal along, you know. I don't think those names will make it. A lot of celebrities, you've heard their names. They're not their real names. They're stage names. How about Cornelius Crane Chase, also known as Chevy Chase? Frances Gum changed her name to Judy Garland. Karen Johnson changed her name to Whoopi Goldberg. Thomas Mapother IV changed his name to Tom Cruise. Gordon Sumner changed his name to Sting. David Howell Evans became The Edge in U2. Paul Hewson became Bono. Tracy Morrow became Ice-T. No wonder. That's just not a gangster name, is it? I'm a gangster. What's your name? Tracy Morrow. Yeah, it's not working. It's not working. How about this one? Brian Hugh Warner became Marilyn Manson. I like this one. Vincent Damon Fournier became Alice Cooper. Here's one of my favorites. Arnold Jerry Dorsey became Engelbert Humperdinck. Sounds to me like you'd be Engelbert Humperdinck and you'd become Arnold Jerry Dorsey, right? Kind of interesting name, but it's memorable. So I'm thinking of, I want a stage name now. You know, I mean, come on, I get one too. Sting is taken, so I'm going to be Stink. I like that. Pastor Stink, nice to meet you. I'll go with Humperdinck as well. Stink Humperdinck, that's my new stage name. Well, listen, you know, in biblical days, names meant something. They didn't just come up with trendy names or popular names. They would give a name to a child, often relating to the events surrounding the child's birth. For instance, there was a child born who was hairy from head to toe. So guess what they named him? Harry, also known as Esau. That's what Esau means, hairy. And then his brother, who was his womb mate, came out right after him, holding on to Harry's heel. Let's call that one heel catcher, known as Jacob. That's what Jacob means. One woman was pregnant. She heard that the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen. She went into shock and gave birth to a child, and they named him Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. Would you hang out with a kid with a name like that? It's my friend, the glory has departed. Don't hang out with that kid. So they would give names that meant something. Well, let's talk about the most important name ever given to a child. You remember that the angel Gabriel announced to both Mary and Joseph they would have a child that would be the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah. And he said, you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus. This is the name that divides human time. This is the name that is above all names. This is the most powerful name in all of the world, Jesus Christ. If you don't believe me, just say his name out loud somewhere and watch what happens. You can say anything about anyone. And you just say, well, Jesus Christ said, and people will look at you like, what kind of a fanatic are you? Even atheists invoke the name of Jesus. Some of them will even say, well, I don't believe that a man named Jesus ever even existed. Yet when I'm really angry, I say, Jesus Christ. Well, why don't you say Santa Claus then? Oh, sorry. Did some of you believe he was real? Pastor Brad is devastated right now in the front row. He had the cookies out, the milk, the whole deal. Well, or why don't you say Ebenezer Scrooge or some fictitious name? No, the reason you say Jesus Christ is even if you don't think he exists, by saying his name in that way, you're sort of acknowledging the power of it. The Bible says that the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, let's look now at a very familiar Christmas passage, Isaiah 9:6. This statement was made 700 years before Christ was born. But in this statement of Isaiah, we get a lot of insight into the name, purpose, and work that Jesus came to do. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and we will call his name Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. Notice it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know, we may think of Jesus arriving in that manger in Bethlehem as his beginning. In one sense, it was. That is when Jesus was born into the human race as a human being, fully man, yet fully God. But that was not the beginning of Jesus, because you see, Jesus is God, being a part of the Trinity. He has always existed. He has neither beginning nor end. So another way to look at Bethlehem is that was when he arrived on planet Earth, when he came to live among us. He lived our life, and ultimately he died our death. For us, it was the entrance of Jesus Christ to earth, but for God, it was the departure of his son from heaven. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. God gave a son, but we saw the arrival of Jesus Christ on this earth. And then we read about him. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Every one of these descriptions of Christ tells us something very important. For starters, we read his name is Wonderful. That takes care of the dullness of life. This word wonderful comes from the root word wonder. In fact, it was Bertrand Russell that claimed that half of the sins of mankind were caused by the fear of boredom. You know, we have never been more advanced technologically than we are right now. We have our iPhones and our iPads and our iPods, and we have our Blu-ray players and our 3D plasma television sets, and we Facebook and we tweet and we text and we play Angry Birds all at the same time. And then we say, I'm bored. Isn't it true? I'm bored. What else is there to do? You know, a lot of gadgets are going to be given out this Christmas. I heard that electronic gadgets are the number one seller this year. And people are all excited about all the newest gizmos that you can get. You need to just know that you're going to get it. There'll be that initial thrill, but then they're going to announce an update is coming in 1 month, making your gadget effectively obsolete. A lot of those presents that we open up are going to frankly disappoint. And, you know, if you're an adult, you'll fake it and say, oh, gee, thanks so much. I've always wanted another fruitcake or whatever. But, you know, with children, they'll just tell you what they think of your present. If they like it, they'll let you know. If they don't like it, they'll just walk away from it. I have four granddaughters, and I decided to get them all Hello Kitty bicycles this year. So I got all these bikes, and I took a long time to figure out who should get what. Riley is the oldest at age 6, and there's Stella, age 5, then there's Lucy, age 3, and then there's little Allie, only a year old, so they all got a Hello Kitty bicycle, and I wanted to do the big reveal, so I put them in my garage. It was like just an explosion of pink right there, pink, all these pink bikes. I had them all set up. I said to Jonathan, my son, okay, hit the door opener, and I had my camera out. I was going to video the reaction. The door opens, and here are the Hello Kitty bikes, and you could hear them excited clapping before the door opened, and as it opened, they just sort of looked like, what do we do? And they all went to the wrong bike. The oldest, Riley, didn't go to the big bike. Instead, she went to one of the small bikes. Stella went to a small bike. Lucy, who was supposed to get a small bike, went to Allie's bike, which is really little. And the big bike was left, so I took that. So I've got that. I've got a really cool Hello Kitty bicycle with a nice little bell right now. So, but you know, people will tell you how they feel. But what is this all about? God is wonderful. A better way to translate this is God is awesome. That would actually be a literal translation. He's awesome, because the word wonder can be translated, God is amazing. He's surprising. He's astonishing, he's admirable, he's bewildering, he is awe-inspiring, he's beyond human ability to understand. Now, we use this word awesome a lot. Oh, man, that car was awesome. Oh, that movie was awesome. Oh, that taco was awesome. I don't know if you're bewildered by a taco. I hope not. But God is the only one that is truly awesome. You know, medical science seeks to add years to your life, but only Christ can add life to your years. And there's nothing that this world offers that's going to fill the void in your life, a void that was created to be filled by God himself. His name shall be called Wonderful. Number two, his name will be called Counselor. That takes care of the decisions of life. We all have a lot of those. Psalm 73:24 says, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me into glory. Did you know that God Almighty wants to give his personal counsel and direction to you? People will go a lot of places to try to find answers today. They'll go to Google and actually type in, what is the meaning of life? What happens after I die? Google. And now if you have an iPhone, there's this new feature called Siri. And I don't know if you've seen this, but you press the button and you can ask Siri, like, where's good coffee in Riverside, or what time does this movie start? And amazingly, a good deal of the time, not all of the time, it will answer and give you a pretty accurate description, what you need to know, sometimes pinpointing your location, telling you what's near you. And sometimes I'll mess around with Siri. I recently asked her, what is the meaning of life? Here's what Siri said. I don't know, but I think there's an app for that. I thought that was hilarious. Then I asked her again, what is the meaning of life? She said, I can't answer that now, but give me some time to write a long play in which nothing happens. Someone's coming up with this stuff, you know. Another person asked Suri, why am I here? And her answer was, I don't know. And frankly, I've been wondering that myself. Listen, you don't need to turn to Google or Suri for the answers you're looking for in life. God has given you all the information you need right in this book called the Bible. So start reading this. The Bible says of itself, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Then this verse goes on to say, he is the mighty God. His name is Mighty God. That takes care of the demands of life. It's mind-boggling to think that Jesus, the baby, was God. And it's hard for us to imagine a baby who's God. I mean, did light radiate from his translucent skin? Did he have a little tiny baby halo over his head? No. Did he talk? Hello, Mary. Hello, Joseph. I'm Jesus. I'm God Almighty. Get me out of this manger now. He was like any other baby. He needed his diaper changed. He cried. He was dependent upon the nourishment of a woman. This is the amazing thing about the incarnation, is God came in such a helpless way. Max Lucado wrote about it this way, and I quote, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent in one instant made himself breakable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. He who sustains a world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God is a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no hoopla. Were it not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. Were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. God had come near. You should call his name the Mighty God. And this reminds us that God has all the power that you need for life. You know, a lot of people are going to get electronic gadgets for Christmas, as I mentioned, and a lot of them are going to find their device doesn't work, so they're going to call tech support. And here's the two questions tech support people always ask. Number one, is it plugged in? Number two, is it turned on? It's amazing how many things don't work because they're not plugged in or turned on. And we'll struggle through life trying to live as a Christian. And here is the question God might ask us. Are you plugged in? Because all the power that you need to live this life has been given to you. And if you're not able to live this life, it's because you're not tapping in to that power that's been given to you by the Almighty God. You might say, well, Greg, listen, I don't know about you, but the world I live in, it's hard. In fact, I would say it's really hard to be a Christian. Hey, let me take that a step further. I don't think it's hard to be a Christian. I think it's impossible to be a Christian. How do you like that? Without the power and help of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. But as the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's the Almighty God. But number four, he's the everlasting Father that takes care of the future of life. Now, we have to remember that life is not just this short time of existence we have here. The Bible teaches that we are a living soul. As C.S. Lewis put it, we're not a body that happens to have a soul, but rather we're a soul wrapped in a body and will live forever. But of course, that's not a good thing if you don't believe, because you'll live forever separated from God in hell. No, the idea is I want to live forever in harmony and fellowship with God in heaven. He's the everlasting Father. I don't know what state your family is in right now. Maybe you have a dysfunctional family. Most of us do. And that will be on display in just a few hours as the extended family regathers together again. And we meet cousins we never even knew we had before. And maybe dad's gone. Maybe dad left. Maybe dad was never there. I never had a father growing up. Conceived out of wedlock. And then with a string of guys my mom married, 7 in total, with a bunch of boyfriends in between. You know, I never had an earthly father. But one day I discovered I had a heavenly Father. And he has always been there for me. He was there when I didn't have an earthly father. He was there when the father who adopted me died. He was there when my mother died. He was there for me when my son died. And this everlasting Father will be there for you as well. God is the Father you may have never had, but he wants to show you his love. Be reminded of that in this Christmas season. He's the everlasting Father. But notice this verse goes on and says, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Now I look around at the government now, there's no way it's on his shoulders. It's a mess. But there's coming a day in the future. This is a speaking of a future event when Christ will come again. There's a bit of space in human history between verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. That hasn't happened yet. That happens when Christ comes back and rules and reigns. But listen to this. Before the government will be upon his shoulders, he had to first take a cross upon his shoulder and die on the cross. As I said in that video, Roland, red is the color of Christmas, and the reason for that is red is the color of the blood that flew from Emmanuel's veins. It is the blood that came from Jesus as he hung on the cross. Red is not the color of Christmas because it's a color that Santa wears, or it's the color that our bank account is in because we're in the red after the bills come due. No, it's red because Jesus came with the express purpose of dying. We don't like to think about that at Christmas time. We like to think of the babe in the manger, and that's a good thing to do. But remember, that little baby came with the express purpose of living a perfect life on this earth and then going to the cross and dying for the sin of all humanity. Before there was a planet called Earth, much less a garden called Eden or a city called Bethlehem, a decision was made in heaven. And the decision was that Jesus Christ would come to this earth and be born, live for 33 years, die on a Roman cross, and rise again 3 days later. So here's the good news. Why did he do that? He was born to die that you might live. He died so he could offer to you tonight the ultimate gift of eternal life. The gift that you must receive. Now, if I were to offer you a gift and you really wanted that gift, what do you need to do? Well, you need to just reach out and say, thanks, Craig. And I'll just say, enjoy it. I'm just happy. It's what you wanted. And God is offering you a gift. And you have a choice tonight. You either accept this gift or you reject this gift. You say, what is the gift? It's a gift of eternal life. Jesus purchased it with his own blood, and he offers it to you now. Now, what are you going to do with it? I know we like to be passive about this and think good thoughts about the babe in the manger and think well of Jesus the Nazarene, Jesus the miracle worker, Jesus the prophet, Jesus the guru, whatever you think he is. Listen, Jesus claimed to be God in human form. Jesus claimed to be the only way to a relationship with the Father. Jesus was born, he died, he rose again, and now he stands at the door of your life and he knocks And he says, if you will hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. Have you asked him in yet? If not, would you like to? You can. And then you will discover the true wonder of Christmas. It's not found in a box under a tree. It's found in the blood that was shed from the tree called Calvary by Jesus Christ for you. And if you will say to God, I'm sorry for my sin, and put your faith in Jesus and ask him to forgive you, he will come and live inside of you and give you the guaranteed hope and certainty that you will go to heaven when you die. If you've not done that, why don't you do it now? We're going to pray, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask Christ to come into your life. There might be some of you that have joined us who maybe were raised as a Christian, but you've sort of put God in your rearview mirror. You've just gone off living your life the way you want to live without him. You've forgotten about God. Here's the good news. God has not forgotten about you. He loves you. And he's calling you home. Calling you back home to him. If you'll come to him tonight. So if you need to make this commitment or recommitment, do it now. Let's bow our heads if you would and pray. Father, I pray for everyone here. Everyone listening, everyone watching, if they do not yet know you, Lord, help them to come to you and believe in Jesus Christ. Help them to put their faith in that one who was born in the manger and died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Help them to say yes to Jesus, we pray. But our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're praying. If you would like Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, if you would like to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you would like that void inside of you filled, if you would like your guilt taken away, if you would like to say yes to Jesus tonight, wherever you're sitting, would you just lift your hand up and let me pray for you? You want Christ to come into your life, just lift up your hand and I'll pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? Lift your hand up where I can see it, please. Up there in the balcony. God bless you. Down here on the ground floor. God bless you. They're in the back, in the middle. Hands are going up everywhere. Now, I can't see you outside in the amphitheater or in the court building, but really that doesn't matter, does it? God sees you. This is a commitment you're making to him. You guys raise your hand out there as well if you want Christ to come into your life. God bless each one of you. Well, our heads are still bowed. Maybe some of you would say, you know, Greg, I've forgotten about God and I've been running from God and I know he's there and I want to come back to him tonight. I need to make a recommitment to Christ. Pray for me. If that's your desire, would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you tonight. You want to come back to Jesus Christ. God bless each one of you. God bless all of you. Father, I pray now that you will help each one of these that have taken this little step of faith and this prayer to take the next one and follow you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, go ahead. Everyone that Jesus calls, he calls openly and publicly. And in a moment, Phil is going to lead us in a song of invitation. And I'm going to ask if you raise your hand with me during that last moment of prayer, saying that you want Christ to come into your life or saying you want to come back to the Lord. I'm going to ask that when Phil starts a song in a moment, that you would get up out of your seat, walk down these aisles and stand up here in the front. Now, why do I ask you to come publicly? Because Jesus said, if you will acknowledge me before people, I will acknowledge you before my Father and the angels in heaven. But he added, if you deny me before people, I'll deny you before the Father and his angels. So this is a way to acknowledge him publicly. Listen, if you're outside of the amphitheater, we're going to open up that side door there and these back doors. I want you to come and join us here in the sanctuary. If you're up in the court building, I want you to go to the front of the room where the screen is, and I'm going to lead you in this prayer. So again, if you raise your hand, even if you did not, but you want Christ to come into your life, you want your sin forgiven, you want to find that meaning and purpose in life you've been searching for, you want to go to heaven when you die, or you've fallen away from the Lord, you want to come back to him now, get up out of your seat, come on down to the front and stand here and I'll lead you in a prayer. Get up and come now. Come on.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
There's still time. You outside in the amphitheater, you come on in and join us here in the sanctuary. So you see the door is open. Come down here and make your public stand for Christ. You up in the court building, go to the front of the room where the screen is and make your stand for Christ. You here in the sanctuary, come down here, up in the balcony. Come on down the stairs. Come on. There's still time.
When we... 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've known less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love.
I'm going to ask Phil to sing that chorus through one last time. And if there's anybody else, listen. He's going to sing this chorus through one last time. And if there's anybody else that wants to make this commitment or recommitment to Jesus, you come now and then we're going to pray together. So in this final moment, if you're going to come, come quickly.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love.
Amen. You that have come forward, I'm going to lead you now in a prayer. And I would ask that you would pray this prayer out loud after me. And this is where you are asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. So mean this from your heart. God bless you guys coming on down. Come on. Yeah. So... mean this prayer that you're about to pray. You that are watching on the internet, you can pray the same prayer asking Christ to come into your life as well. So all of you standing here, if you would, bow your head and pray this out loud after me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I thank you for coming to this earth and being born in that manger and dying on that cross for my sin. I turn from that sin now, and I invite you into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my God. Be my friend. Be my counselor. My mighty God. My everlasting Father. Thank you for loving me and calling me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you.